If you weren't in love with me, I'm just not sure why, like, why you made love with me.
Really? Come on. There could be 25 women, you could fall in love with one, and she might not feel the same.
I love you.
As far as being in love, I've certainly moved on.
I am in love with you, feeling.
Well, there's no good way, but this is the best way. People have now meet this way, right?
Hi, everybody. You know, I'm really excited that we're done with this season. I know about you,
yeah,
Adam.
Yeah, I mean, it was a season, that's for sure.
It was something. It was a whole lot of stuff.
Like, maybe I'm just jaded.
What are you jaded about?
It's just hard to watch this. It's hard to watch the show when I don't have any interest in the franchise player having a relationship.
Well, I mean, we usually say that at the end of every season. We usually get to the point where we're so just like, oh my God, get it over with.
I think
you're
right.
This person so much. I just can't even deal with it. I mean,
I think
we got
you're
well,
right.
But I will say that the fact that we are at the end of this season, and it seems like in all the time that we've done this show, almost 100 episodes, Nick finally chose the right person.
No, I mean, I agree with that, but you know, it doesn't feel like there are 30 women and one of them wins the lottery. It's like there, it's well, like there are 30 women and they play Russian roulette. Like it's
right.
The opposite is happening. It's not a good thing.
No,
they're inheriting a bad situation with
that
with a less than desirable partner.
That is for sure.
I mean, whatever. Emotionlessly, I hope it works out, I guess.
I guess. So let's talk about our final end of the road. Last night we lost Raven. You know, I know what I said last week. I know what I said the week before. I know what I said after every one-on-one date and interaction that she had with Nick. However, you know, I think there's something to be said about the childlikeness of Raven. Very similar to Corinne. Is that a word?
Childlikeness.
Childishness.
I think you got
better?
Yeah,
which is
childishness, I think.
Nature.
Childlikeness is like one too many suffixes.
like saying pre-childlikenessness.
Yeah, you can stack prefixes.
I'm going to make my own words, okay?
The point of this words is, convey meaning.
This is my Midwestern diction. I'm going to say up, under, all over the place.
That's just ridiculous.
So I feel like you can kind of tell once you get to this point in the show that the level of language and the interactions between the Bachelor and whoever he decides to pick are a little bit deeper than just making out with somebody all the time.
Mm.
And you could really tell the difference between his interactions with Raven and his interactions with Vanessa, that with Vanessa, he was doing a lot of talking, and they were doing a lot of like talking and working through whatever they needed to work through. With Raven, there wasn't a lot of let's talk about our future, or there wasn't a lot of let's talk about, you know, what we're going to do
sex,
after
baby.
This. Yeah, well, yes. Thank you.
You and me.
It was more so, let me retell you what we did today and then also make out with you.
Okay.
The old Jordan Rogers trick.
Okay, let me ask you a serious question.
All right.
When we make the show, are you listening to what I say? Like, ever?
No.
The morning after, when we post it, do you ever listen to it and maybe pay attention to what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. Okay. Fifth.
Fifth. F-I-F fifth.
At this point, Taylor Robinson will take the privileges provided to her by the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Fee-fi-fo-fif.
I've been saying this for weeks. He has the fights with Vanessa because they matter.
Because they matter.
He has friendly conversations with Raven because
they don't
because
matter.
Why would you start a fight with somebody when you don't have to?
That's right. That's right.
You know,
Raven
have,
surprised me. She surprised a lot of people.
Raven seems like a good person.
She really does. And especially in After the Final Rose, she was very kind of like, you know, what, que sera, sera, whatever will be, I look amazing, albeit very thin, but not as thin as Allison Williams looks on Girls, hello.
Wait, does she look amazing? I mean, this is a bone of contention.
Well, amazing for her.
For Hoxie, Arkansas.
She looks amazing for Hoxie, Arkansas. She is a Hoxie.
For national 12. For national TV reality dating show.
She looks just fine.
She looks substandard.
She looks just fine. And you know what? She's really rocking that slip dress trend, which is hot for spring. So I'm excited about that.
I have a lot more to say about Raven.
But
I will bring it up in one of my tantalizing final thoughts for the season.
I also have a series of final thoughts for the season, Adam.
I have three.
So do I!
What?
We like to make lists.
We're perfect for each
other. We like to make lists.
Anyway, so let's start this date. We're in Finland. They fly all 17 members of Nick's family.
Oh my God. He has so many people in his family.
Yeah, so Nick's family all flies to Finland where they stay in this house and they get to meet Raven. And guess what? Everything goes really well.
Well, Raven already met the family, so this was not really a challenge for anybody. And I almost kind of thought she had a leg up on the competition. I mean, if you could at this point. I mean, she met everybody. It wasn't really a big deal. It didn't seem like to me. It wasn't as monumental as it was when Vanessa did the same.
Well, there was no pressure on her because she couldn't win.
Ooh.
This has been the case for weeks.
I know. Why are you so upset about this? I'm sorry.
I'm just stating the truth as I see it, uh-huh. Which actually turned out to be the truth as everyone saw it.
You're just a man telling me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
You remember National Women's Day was last week?
Yeah, but like, to state it literally, I am a man.
And I'm also telling you
that. Not just any man, a man whose name means man literally.
Literally.
The most manly.
You are literally man Bonifest. You are literally man Good Party. That is your name.
In the translation of my name is literally the only definition you can take to make me hyper masculine or masculine at all, really.
And you're not that. Oh, man.
So Raven meets Nick's family. It goes obscenely well.
It's very well.
Everyone's like, she's so pleasant. She's having a good time.
Speaking of Nick's family, can I just talk about the hot brother with the beard? Who the hell was that?
Hard to pick him out. There's like 48 people in the family.
There really are, but he said something towards the end. I said, who's that guy in the black Henley? Because I could take that down.
Taylor's like, let's pause it for a minute.
Hello?
It's like, Taylor. Okay.
Okay.
Whatever.
You got 30, you got, well, 60 sets of boobs to look through for 13 episodes. 60, I can get one guy with a beard, okay?
60 sets? Does everyone have four or does one person
you
have?
You know what I'm saying. Okay. 60 boobs, 30 sets. Yeah. I'm not an abacus.
I mean, whatever. Danielle M was in there, so 58. Anyway, it goes well. But it goes well, I think. The tragic truth here is that everyone except her knows that she can't win. It's not a her being dumb thing.
Yeah.
It's just the way that this game plays out, it doesn't matter when The Bachelor decides.
Yeah.
There has to be a certain number of women at a certain time.
Because I almost kind of feel like Nick's family didn't ask Raven as deep of questions as they asked Vanessa. And I think, you know, as Nick said later and after the final rose, that he did tell his parents, you know, at what point, you know, this is a television show. At what point did he tell his parents? Did he tell his mom and dad, like, before Raven and Vanessa came over so that, you know, their questions would be a little bit different? It did seem like Nick's dad was getting really emotional with Vanessa only because, you know, maybe he thought, well, this is going to be it. This is my daughter-in-law, and, you know, this is an overwhelming emotion for me. That's how I read the situation.
I'd like to pause,
now reading
I'd like to pause the episode to make a general comment about Nick's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Nick's dad...
It's not his dad.
It's not his dad.
That's his dad.
He has such a smarm look about him. He should be somebody's stepdad. He might biologically have birthed... Biologically have contributed to the birth of Nick and all these children.
As a man who had a stepdad at one time, don't you think that's a little bit of a gross generalization?
I'm also a man who is in love with, like, late 90s family entertainment.
Yeah, and everybody had a stepdad.
Everyone did.
They really did.
Man of the House. Oh. The Santa Claus is even.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah, he was awful.
It's just a part of, it's a part of growing up when we grew up. He had a stepdad, you know? I think Nick... His poor dad seemed like a decent guy, but very stepdaddy.
But what kind of stepdad in a 90s movie was he? Was he the nice stepdad where you're like, you know, he's just a nice guy. It's like, too bad mom can't be with my dad because he's the one that's a f*** up.
Yeah, the friendly one who's like, listen, I don't want him to call me dad, but if he does, I'd be okay with it.
So he's not like a like the Santa Claus stepdad who was laying it on a bit thick with that whole child psychology business.
Yeah, yeah, like a friendly kind. The kind we could all get along with.
Okay.
The kind who really just is in this for the best of the kid.
Oh, okay.
They exist. They're out there.
All right.
He seems like that kind.
So more like the stepdad and Liar Liar.
Yes.
Which I think might have been the same guy.
Maybe my memory might be destroying me right now, but I believe that's correct.
No, I take that back. Cary Elwes was Jerry in Liar Liar, and Judge Reinhold was the stepdad in the Santa Claus.
I don't remember the character names, but you're right. Now that you bring
it up, sorry.
Sorry for misleading
you
on this podcast.
So many stepdads look so alike, guys. I can't keep
it straight. It's a look, and Nick's dad has
It's a look. The other thing that I had mentioned before, I don't know when Nick's mom sort of turned herself into this sort of hippy-dippy pottery woman.
She is in a downward spiral.
I mean, from the time that she was first on the show to now, she has, like, changed herself into, like,
she's
the heterosexual version of Ellen DeGeneres.
She's experiencing a very personal Great Depression.
Yes.
It's mainly affecting her haircut and makeup.
She is definitely finding herself, and it is all happening at the same time. Yeah. Like, I don't know how many bags of weed she smoked before she got on the show, or even his dad, but...
Stepdad, but yeah.
I mean, the two of them seem to have found each other at Burning Man.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's like she went to the hairdresser and they were like, "What do you want?" And she was like, "Pixie cut, but in a hurricane."
Okay, make me look totally different.
They were like, "Are you sure?" And she started crying. And they were like, "Okay, I guess she's sure."
Definitely what happened. So then Vanessa comes in and meets with the family, and everybody starts crying.
It's a lot more on edge. It starts out well.
It's definitely on edge. And, you know, Vanessa sort of pours herself all out about how much she loves Nick. And, you know, as we know, it has been very difficult for her not to accept the fact that Nick can't express how he feels about Vanessa. And I get the sense that it was very hard for him towards the end to not, like, let all of those emotions out, because he really seemed like he was trying to hold it in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Vanessa's whole approach to the final episode is a very strange
one. And again, like, you know, we've said this a million times, and she even said it herself on After the Final Rose. She didn't watch a whole season all the way through.
Oh, huge mistake.
It is a huge mistake, clearly, because she, like, she didn't get it, man. And I don't know if she watched, like, if they have a different version of The Bachelor in Canada, but what?
Yeah, it was really confusing, because, like, she kept being like, "He's not telling me he loves me."
It's like, that's the game!
That
is literally the whole game.
It's weird. She's sort of very upfront.
Right.
About... Like, she's embraces the confrontational a little bit. She's like, "Listen, right. I love you, but I don't think this is going to work." And you're like, wait a minute.
The
two parts of that sentence don't go together.
Hold on. And, like, in the whole, like, you know, she's like, and we'll get to this in the end, where she was sort of explaining to his family about how she felt and, you know, that do you think love can be the only thing that matters in a relationship? Of course not! Like, duh!
Yeah, I think that was the interesting philosophical question of the episode.
Yeah.
You know, as the philosopher on the show, I will go ahead and opine about that.
Please, give it to us.
I think it can. I think love can be enough for a relationship, for a marriage.
Wow.
I think it can. I'm a little bit more pure than you, though.
I know.
I'm an idealist.
I know. I'm so angry.
Yeah, no, not that.
No, I'm not angry.
I'm a romantic, though.
You are a romantic.
What are you?
The scientist.
That's true, I guess.
I am the scientist.
Yeah.
I like to test and hypothesize.
That was her big question. She repeated it several times. She had a point, but I mean, it's a good question. It's not one that it's going to be answered on The Bachelor of all
things. No, heavens no. And I think once we got into the evening portions of the date, you could really tell who Nick was going to pick. And finally, like we said before, it really seemed like he was picking the right person. like, we've gotten to the end of this show so many times and either been, like, wildly surprised or, you know, kind of taken aback by who...
Juan Pablo.
Yeah. By who the person, the bachelor or the bachelorette, ends up picking. Or, you know, we get to the end and we say, I can't believe they would pick that person. That person's not right for them. This person is right for them. And I think Nick picked the right person, honestly. I mean, you could tell, like you said, when he was talking to Vanessa that, you know, they were trying to figure out their relationship. And then with Raven, it was just kind of like, you're great. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean...
Go Bucks.
I mean, it's not going to work. Sorry, but, you know, the bigger question is not whether or not love can sustain a marriage. The bigger question is whether or not celebrity can sustain a marriage. Right. And but after 21 seasons of this show, the answer is very clear. No.
No. No.
It can't.
And the other thing that I really was bothered by on this episode was how much they really hit home this whole thing about how, you know, maybe the woman that Nick chooses will say yes. Like, that was unbelievably frustrating to me. Because, for one, are you actually kidding me? Are you actually kidding me? Yeah. Unless The Bachelor was a crazy person, a serial rapist, or, oh, I don't know, a complete jerk on camera for the last 13 episodes, all those women are going to say yes.
I mean, that's part of the producer's script. There's no way. Flat out. There's no way that all 87 people in this family independently had this thought on camera, because we heard it that many times.
Honey, the number keeps going up.
That is intentional.
Okay. There's so many of them.
There's just no way. That's not done without producer meddling. There's no way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, clearly they're asking in the moment times when the parents are being interviewed by the producers. They're not just coming up with this information. The producers are asking them, so do you think that Vanessa's going to say yes? And then the parents then have to say, I don't know. I don't know if she's going to say yes. And then they splice that in with another piece of an interview or another piece of something of somebody else talking. And then they show you sort of like an establishment shot of Finland. And then they cut all the audio together to make it sound like a complete sentence. This is all fake.
They're all just pawns in Big Bachelor's game.
That's right. I can't wait to see them mess this up with Rachel. It's going to be so fun.
So we leave Vanessa's family meeting.
Sure.
And we go to this weird fake North Pole Santa date where even Santa seems to not care. You know, he's like, whatever.
And everybody,
I think this is over.
You guys know that the origin of St. Nicholas is not from Finland. And I am really very unsure as to why this is even on right now, because that is not a thing.
You
no one
why?
Cares about Santa.
You know why they put it on here?
Why?
Because they got 120 minutes reserved for about 24 minutes worth of content.
I know.
They got to stretch the whole episode, the whole show, stretching.
I know, because we have very clearly seen that they could do this show in an hour, and they choose not to.
This episode in particular.
Yes.
Only needs to be 30 minutes.
It really does. I didn't really learn that much on Vanessa's date. I didn't learn any more on Raven's date either. I think the main thing that we had talked about was that on Raven's portion, they just kind of made out a lot. And then on Vanessa's portion, they had some challenging long-term relationship kind of conversations.
I think Vanessa was intentionally trying to not just be some dumb bimbo who goes along with the, oh my God, this is magic. I never felt like this is going to go along.
Which I appreciate.
And she wasn't.
Which I appreciate.
And it's probably because she's a grown up and she's not.
She is.
She is. I mean, at the end of the day, Raven's still only like 24. She's
right.
Still just a kid.
Right.
Like everyone in the show.
And Vanessa, based on her background, based on her family, based on her job, all of that stuff. I mean, she's really got herself together. She doesn't need Nick.
No, I mean, her date, I think the whole approach to the episode, she was very much like, I'm not sure. And maybe it was just her, like, hook. Maybe it was her way to be different.
And maybe it was what the producers had asked her the most often to get that kind of reaction out of her. So that's what we would end up seeing.
It might be. She seems genuinely unique from other Bachelor cast members before.
I agree.
Raven, on the other hand. So here's the telling moment about Raven's one-on-one date. I wrote it down because it was so telling. I only wrote down like 8 words about this entire episode, right, because it was so meaningless. So they go os skating, right?
What?
Os skating.
What?
It's O-S-S.
Os.
Os skating.
Os.
Yeah, you just got to listen to Raven talk.
Os skating. Got it.
They go os skating, and then they're sitting around drinking something hot or eating something. They also fed it to the dogs. So
are
I'm
they
not,
doing that? Oh, my God. Sure. The puppies, you right? guys. Oh, my God. The puppies.
So they're sitting around. It's actually very appropriate you're talking about these dogs, because Nick is describing Raven to the camera, and he describes her in exclusively dog terms. He's like, Raven, I mean, she's loyal, and she's warm, and she's fun, and she likes to go on WALKs. It's just very much like he's not even treating this person like a potential partner. He's treating this person like
a puppy.
Like a fun person to cuddle up by the fire with. And that's it.
I want a puppy.
Yeah, I mean, I also want a puppy. Raven, however, is a human person who is not a puppy.
No, she's not a puppy. She's a person with horse girl hair. So we get to the finale.
God, her hair's too long, right?
So somebody long. Needs to tell her hair that. Is so long. You know, we get to the final part, and Nick picks out
this is always
another
weird.
Hideous ring from Neil Lane. I just...
Wait a second. Let's talk about this.
Yeah, yeah.
I am a person who, in the course of my life, has now learned some things about engagement rings.
You have.
And diamond characterization and everything.
You have.
This show...
Yeah.
The most important C is cut. Everyone says that. And yet the only C that you ever see emphasized in dumb Valentine's Day ads or on this show is carrot. Let everyone listening understand this. The most important C is cut. A better cut gives you the sparkle. All of the four C's only contribute to the sparkle. That's what you're buying. That's the sizzle.
That's the sizzle. Right, right. So
Nick buys. Nick,
why would you? Whoa. Buys.
I'm sorry.
You lock that up right now.
It's late. Nick absorbs.
Right. Right. Nick becomes one with.
This hideously big.
Well.
It's a collection of small diamonds. It looks terrible.
Wrapped around a huge band, which I hate these rings so much. I hate these rings so much. But you know what? It did seem like he didn't pick the one that was the biggest one that he had ever done. Now, I might be wrong. I've been wrong about a lot of things this season. I've been wrong about, you know, the German occupation in World War II. I've been wrong about...
Didn't forget that.
I've been wrong about which song was from Anastasia. I've been wrong about a lot of things this season. Right.
Who played the stepdad in
I was wrong
Liar
about
Liar.
Who played the stepdad Liar Liar. However, I don't think he picked the biggest one.
Good for him. Because there's been a trend on this show to be like 3 carats, 4 carats, 5 carats...
They haven't gone to 5 carats yet. They've gone. Andy's ring was the biggest ring, and hers was very tasteful.
Great.
Oval diamond, soft halo, 4 carats, pave band.
Great.
That's it. No baguettes, no bull.
Relationship turned to like 2 months after she got it. So
I know, but the ring, ugh.
There's going to be a certain point where there just aren't diamonds big enough left. I mean, to keep escalating this. This weird, like, bachelor diamond ring cold war that we're in. Anyway.
Neil Lane is a bad jewelry.
It's about cut.
It's about cut. All right.
Okay.
So we get to the finale. We see Raven walk out of the limo. I'm thrilled. She looks like a girl going to prom in that dress. And, I mean, clearly Vanessa looked like a woman. God, did her body serve for the gods in that dress. Ooh, Vanessa. She looked great.
Yeah, at least you said it, not me, again. There's this real weird thing where the first person who gets out of the car obviously is the loser.
Sure.
And they have to give this monologue to the franchise player.
I know.
And Nick is just sitting there with his face like, listen, I'm going to tell you no.
He looked like he was going to throw up everywhere.
He looks like he was holding it in from, like, all cavities in his body.
Yeah, he was like, oh, my God, I'm going to... Oh, he looked like, I'm going to myself. I'm going to
I don't know if Raven is just required to go through the extent of the monologue, or if she just didn't realize it?
I mean, Caitlin let Nick go through the whole monologue, and he got down on one knee, and she was like, no, please don't, and then it got very weird.
Do you think both of these women going into it just genuinely think they're going to win? And the same with the guys when it was Nick. When you get this far, you have to think you're going to win, right?
I mean, Adam, isn't the point of the show to be invested in your own percent? And if you're invested in someone else's percent, then you're not going to be confident that you're going to win. So, of course, by using your percent, you have to be like, I'm going to win. Because I'm invested in me and my relationship. And another interesting thing, when Nick was on his one-on-one, he didn't talk about Raven on Vanessa's one-on-one. He talked about Vanessa on Raven's one-on-one.
I noticed that too.
Never forget.
I noticed that
too. There are signs everywhere.
Vanessa was like, I'm not sure this is going to work out. And Nick's like, yeah, let's talk about it. And Raven was like, I love you. And Nick was like, you know what? I'm kind of in love with two people right now.
Right.
And he didn't say it. He didn't say that.
He said, I have strong feelings for both, for two women, and I don't know who I'm going to choose. And it's like, girl, yes you do.
So they're in there, and
we're saying yes.
Raven's like, listen, I'm into you. Nick's like, listen, I'm going to cry. Nick cries.
All the time.
Right? So then she goes. Vanessa comes in, and there's a proposal. Nick also cries. Also Vanessa. The only person who did not cry is the person who just lost, which is telling.
Raven did cry eventually, but it took her a while to get there. Which,
a lot of makeup to go through.
Well, which also makes me think, I don't feel bad for her because she didn't really feel bad for herself. And I'm okay with that. She didn't seem like crazy broken up. And, once she got into the car and, said the sort of residual speech of, everybody always says I'm amazing, but then how come no one actually thinks I'm amazing? And I'm like, okay, it's fine.
She's going to move back to Hoxie where she has things going for her, and the buffet is open.
She's
going to
be in Arkansas 22.
Yeah, she's going to be in BIP.
Yep, she's going to be in BIP. Maybe Jared will come back.
Yeah,
She's probably too tall for Jared.
Yeah, and then, come September, she'll start eating again. She'll move back to Hoxie, and all of a sudden, whatever she wants. And it's a relative jackpot, but it is a jackpot nonetheless.
Sounds amazing.
Right? So this happens.
So I think let's talk about our final thoughts.
Final
for
thoughts
this
of
season.
The season. You have three and I have three.
I have three.
Why don't you go first? Hit us with one.
Hit my number one.
Mine aren't ordered. They're just numbered.
Okay. I think Rachel really was Nick's soulmate. I think Rachel and Nick were really made for each other. And I think if things had gone differently in terms of what the producers wanted the show to be like and what, the new president of ABC had wanted for the franchise, I think he would have picked Rachel.
You think he was blocked from picking Rachel so they could save her for The Bachelorette?
I do.
Interesting.
I think he would have picked Rachel if he had been given the opportunity to do so.
Interesting. My first point is related to this.
Ooh, tell us.
My first point is a question.
Ooh, I love questions.
Like so many things.
Ooh.
First point, final thought. When does he decide?
Good question.
How many people are left when he decides? Because it's not two.
No, he does not decide when
there are two people left.
No way.
He decided.
And I don't think he decides. I don't think he or anyone in the show even decides at the fantasy suite. Either. I think they know before that too.
I think you're very aware that it's going to be an accelerated decision going into it. When you're the franchise player, you've got to pick somebody in 2 months. You know it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're sort of looking for it and you find it way before 2 months.
I think it is somewhere around the time where people start to get their second one-on-one dates and hometowns.
I mean, I think it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
Caitlin Bristow picked the first night.
Oh, hands
literally
down.
Picked the
Ben
first
Higgins
night.
picked the first night.
Yeah, also picked the first night. I think in this case, it's very clear Rachel actually got second. Second place is the biggest loser of the entire show.
Yeah.
Because first place, obviously, you get the person.
Right.
You get the ring.
Sure.
You get on TV, whatever.
Yes.
Third place, virtually guaranteed to be the Bachelorette.
Or something.
Or the Bachelor.
Or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Second place is always just a jovial loser who never really has a chance, but there's nothing bad to say ever about the second place person.
Right.
So you're like it's going on a template where it's happened so often that it can't just be a random pattern anymore. Right. There has to be something going on here.
Right.
And I think it's very clear this season that Rachel was actually got second. Mm-hmm. I think second. You say got first.
Yeah, I think she got first.
I think she got second. She just got eliminated in the he's just like, listen, I picked Vanessa, and they're like, okay, cool. Get rid of this person. I think it was before Corinne too. I don't think so. Corinne actually got fourth.
Yeah.
I think the producer said you got to keep Corinne on TV as long as possible.
Yeah.
I think it was probably somewhere around fifth or sixth.
Because that's an excellent point, because with Christina, it seemed like the producers almost didn't know what to do with her because they didn't expect when this sort of Russian orphan thing was going to come out. I don't think they expected how well she was going to do on the show, and then they didn't plan well enough for that.
I don't think that. I think they just ran out. They filled up the top four. They have to have four in the top four. One girl's the winner. That's Vanessa. Already decided.
Right.
One girl is rating gold. That's Corinne.
One girl is the next bachelorette.
Rachel. That's it. And then the other person is the lovable loser. And it has to be, I guess it could have been Christina or Raven, or could have been Danielle M. It had to be one of the three of them. And it happened that it was Raven. Cause she wasn't even really on the radar, and so the editing made her look like she was coming on at the end to make it look like she could get second.
Right.
It's clear that was fake.
What was your number two?
Point number two. Thank God an adult won this show.
Yes! 100%.
It needed to be somebody who was at least on the brink of 30.
Yes.
He's 36. If Raven would have won, a 24-year-old, or Corinne, a 24-year-old...
Oh, no. It would have been a nightmare.
It's a credibility disaster.
And especially for him, having been on this show so many times, and like, you know, after all of this, you mean to tell me you pick a girl who's barely out of college?
Yeah, the show's got a stigma to fight, and it's their own fault.
Yeah, they really do. And especially after so many years of all these, like, hodgepodge, weird people who have, like... You know, are no
fake
longer
jobs.
Fake jobs who are no longer catches. The point of the show is to have
like
somebody on the show who's like, you know, as I always say, an astronaut doctor millionaire.
Yeah.
That is The Bachelor.
Unanimously desirable.
Right. The Bachelorette is supposed to be this successful, strong, independent, confident,
Princess
beautiful,
Di or something.
Princess Diana, selfless type woman. And... that was no longer the show. Caitlin Bristow, God bless her heart. I mean, you know, people say that when they really hate people.
Scraped her out of the gutter
somewhere. Scraped her out of the barrel like she was some whore ballet dancer, dance teacher, who was banging every guy that walked down the street. Like,
bow-legged. On top of everything.
And on top of that, she was bow-legged. So I think, like you said, the show... does have a stigma to overcome.
But at least we're moving
really,
in the right direction.
They are really... working hard.
But
on
now
it
we're
right
back
now.
Up to an attorney.
Right.
Who's 32, 31.
31.
An actual accomplished, desirable person. Mm-hmm. You know, we're never going to get back up to like the original Bachelor where it was like
a
king or something.
He was a prince that one time.
Like I said, we're never going to get there. But at least we're back to the person being successful.
Right. My number two is thank God it was an amicable split. You know, I hate having to watch this show and watch some sort of sob story of the other person. Nick Viall, who, like, you know, pretty much drags somebody's name through
the
mud.
The worst offender.
Or, like, gets on there and starts crying like an idiot, or gets on there and can't, like, articulate their feelings, or gets on there and, you
does
know.
Anything Nick
does
Viall has
anything
done.
That Nick has done. And it was really a nice change of pace to have Raven be on the show and say, you know, I'm just really happy for them, and I'm going to go back to Hoxie, Arkansas, and try not to look like Morticia Adams, and this is my loss.
Oh, that ship has sailed.
I mean, it was definitely a nice change of pace to, you know, see an adult break up with
a child,
but, you know, an adult breakup.
Yeah, and not just made-for-TV drama.
Right, on the show. It was very refreshing. Boring, but very refreshing.
I kind of think that's why Raven got second. I mean, I think that was why Raven was selected to get second.
Right.
Because she was not going to be drama.
Nope.
She was, like, she would be okay with losing.
Yeah.
I also kind of feel like they picked on her, where they're like, yeah, like, let's sacrifice this woman to losing.
Right.
Because you don't get anything for second.
And they did all of those, like, weird, like, independent shots with her and her and the orgasm stuff and her, like... all the fun shots and stuff. So, I mean, it was, they made her into sort of a caricature of, you know, a silly Southern dummy. And she's really not like that, I don't think.
I think the reality is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My number three is probably a great segue to what happened with Rachel.
Well, then why don't I give my number three
first? So why don't
you
give your number three first?
My number three is that everyone is in on it.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Nick's whole family. Like, and it's not just this season. I want somebody with no job or a lot of free time on their hands or something to just put together a supercut of everything that's said on every final episode of all 21 seasons of this show. Mm-hmm. It is identical. It's identical. The Bachelor doesn't really have two people to pick from on the last episode.
Honey, you need to read Charlene's recaps on her blog, because her blog is very astute in terms of the process of making the show. Not just about the show itself, but making the show and what it takes to, like, cut everything together to give us 2 hours of program.
I believe you, but you know who else was in on it? Charlene.
I know.
Everyone is in on it.
That's why I trust her. Duh.
It's like the Truman Show. The person viewing this thinks they're seeing something organic. Everyone in the whole show
100%
is in on it.
Everybody. Everybody. It's all fake. And remember when you said that it wasn't fake that one time when we were recording the show this year? Yeah. That was you.
You're going to have to check the tape.
So my number three.
Can we check with the stenographer on
that? My number three is live TV is awkward. And I say this to say that they brought Rachel out again.
Yeah.
The puppet that she will be for this season, which is fine with me because this is great. Finally, we get to somebody on the show who is wonderful and beautiful and can talk and is nice and great.
And there's a catch.
And it's a catch. My God. So we get on the show and the historic moment that everybody has been talking about is Rachel meeting the first four of her new bachelors. And live TV is awkward.
It is.
Live TV is awkward. So she met four guys tonight. DeMario. Blake.
Eric?
Was there Dean. An Eric? And Eric. Eric was last. Okay. Eric was my favorite.
Yeah, live TV is awkward, mostly because all of these guys have never met this person. And
right.
And whoever directs them to be on TV, they're like, you got one line. You'll go give her your one line. And like, listen, it's hard to write a line for someone you've never met.
Right. And especially when they shoot the show, we know this. You know, they're shooting the evening all the way through the night into like the morning. And you're drinking, you're eating. And whatever we see on TV is some cobbled together version
Everyone's in on it.
Everybody being in on it. They got to get out of the limo. You walk up to Rachel. They're shooting it from two angles. Maybe you kind of messed up your line when you came
driveway's
out. Driveway's wet. You got to go back to the limo and then walk back up to Rachel. I mean, for all we know, they do these entrances 12 different times. And these four guys are, you know, not going to get that opportunity. I mean, they will, but, you know, they might not be featured on the show in the first episode. Because they already got their time.
Yeah, it's a very weird scenario.
It is.
Because,
but didn't she look amazing?
Yeah, true. Definitely.
She looks so good.
I feel like these four guys are going to be at a disadvantage with the house.
Well,
two of them are gone instantly.
Right.
So.
Unlike in previous seasons, at least they didn't sleep with her.
Yet.
Well, at least they didn't come on the show having slept with her.
That's true, but you mean to tell me after tonight's show, she's not just going to walk out into the green room or whatever and just be like,
Eric, I'm going to keep you.
The buffet is open.
The buffet is open. I don't know. But I think it was a nice change of pace. It wet my whistle a little bit for this season. So, bold predictions before we leave all of you guys. What is the over-under on Vanessa and Nick?
End of Bachelor in Paradise.
I think they might make it. I really do.
Why?
I don't know. I've got a good feeling about this. I think they are equally yoked. I think that you know, she has a level of fame that she wants to aspire to, and it's the same level that he wants to aspire to. I don't know if anybody caught that moment where Vanessa was talking about moving to the United States, and she said something like, "Oh, well, it has been difficult." And then Chris Harrison said, "Ha ha, it's not as easy as it used to be. Ha 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 ha." But I think that is going to be, you know, probably not as big of an issue for them. And, you know, I don't know. I got a good feeling about this one.
Don't fall for it.
She's Canadian, so maybe she's not jaded. She's still a bad Italian, so we can't really take that back.
Yeah, fake Italian.
All right. Okay.
I can't give up my family. I can never leave. Oh, wait. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wait. You just did. Leaving, though.
I'll leave immediately.
You're leaving, though.
That's exactly what she did.
Yeah. She did.
You know, whatever. I don't have hopes. Why would you? Look at you, the scientist over here, having seen repeated iterations of this experiment and repeated failures. You can't bank on success here. Nick Viall seems terrible.
He does also.
I think Vanessa seems like a good person who is proud of her confusion about some things, but at least seems like a good person.
Well, Nick did own up to the one mistake that she had, which was not watching the show all the way through when she did watch it. Because that was just aggravating.
Why would you do that?
Watch the show! Don't go on a show and not watch it. That's dumb. It's like not studying for a test.
You'd think she'd be smarter than that.
Well, you know.
I guess not.
She's Canadian. Well, thanks for joining us, you guys, for another season of 25 to Life. We will be back in May for Rachel's season. I'm crazy excited.
Yeah, we got 2 months about until it starts.
Yep.
So, you know, rest up.
Rest up. Fight the power.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, you could just rest. So those are opposites.
No, I'm trying to, you know, titles of the songs that we might use, you know, for Rachel's season. Fight the power.
She kind of is the power. Her dad's a judge.
You know, cranes in the sky and all that.
Yeah, okay. We'll be back. And until then, you know, just do something.
Thanks a bunch. Bye.
I think my time on the Bachelor franchise is probably complete.
You get to be the Bachelor, you get to meet 25, at least amazing women, but
it's not a normal environment. It's a very unrealistic situation. It's real to you. A lot of people ask me, how's Chris Harrison? Really popular. Dabbled in modeling a little bit. People really like TVs.